Good morning, FBC Elon family. I hope y'all are doing well today. It is good to gather with you on this snowy Sunday morning for our virtual worship service this day. I prayed and hoped that after last week having to go virtual for our service last week, I was praying that we would be able to be back in person today. But obviously, we had some different plans going on for this Sunday. So, again, I'm glad that you've decided to join me this morning for our time of worship this day. I'm going to give give the opportunity for people to join in over the next few minutes before we really get started. But I pray that you have been staying inside, staying warm during this beautiful, I mean, it's been an absolutely gorgeous, beautiful snow that has fallen over the last 48 hours here in Alamance County. I don't know about your measurements. I know we've seen measurements all over the place, seen up to over a foot of snow in some places in North Carolina. I know here in Elon we've got at least 6 or 7 inches, it looked like. So, but again, thankful that we can gather in virtual worship service this morning. I will just give a few more minutes for opportunity for others to join on. Last week we had close to 20 people who joined us for worship, which was great, and I'm thankful for that. Trying to pull the service up on my phone as I'm talking to you, but again thankful that that we have this opportunity to worship virtually on Sunday morning. Be very similar than we did like to our worship service last week, and I pray and hope that we will be back together next Sunday. Of course, we'll keep an eye on how this weather goes and how quickly it melts. For those that are gathering with us online this morning, know that if there's any needs during this time, please do not hesitate to contact your deacons or contact myself or Gay, and we will help you in any way that we can. My guess is the church office will definitely be closed tomorrow on Monday. We'll kind of keep an eye on what it looks like for the weather as it goes through the week. However, again, just because the office is closed doesn't mean we cannot help you or answer any questions that you might have. So don't hesitate to call us or get in contact with us for our time of worship, for anything coming up in the next week or so at First Baptist. I'm going to go ahead and get started with our announcements this morning. It is the good to gather this first Sunday in February. It's just kind of hard to believe it's already February already. I think it's these snow days where you get stuck inside and you kind of forget what day it is and what month it is. But we are gathered on this first Sunday in February, February 1st. For those that are joining us online this morning, thank you. If you've never joined us online before, I encourage you to send me an email. Let me follow up with you and share what First Baptist Church of Elon is all about. Of course, you can go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up our worship bulletin for our service today. Again, there's some changes, a little bit with the music, but everything else will be flowing just as the worship bulletin shows. I do want to remind our church folks that we're supposed to have activities this evening. Those church ministry activities have been canceled for this evening. I also want to let you know that coming up this week, Tuesday, was supposed to be our senior adult breakfast at Carver's. That we've postponed that for 1 week. So now the senior adult breakfast has now been scheduled for Tuesday, February 10th. It'll still be at Carver's at 9 a.m. So anybody that wants to join the time for breakfast for that, you're more than welcome to. Right now, choir rehearsal is scheduled for Wednesday, but we are going to keep a special eye on the roads to make sure that they are functional. I do want to say that Thursday we will have our next session in our winter virtual Bible study, The Call. We've been looking at the life and ministry of Paul. That our next session will be Thursday night at 6:30 p.m. This is session 5 in our study. We're going to be looking at The Call to Give, and that'll be at 6:30 p.m. on Facebook Live. Of course, the study guide for each session will be placed on the website and also emailed out early this next week. So join us online for that time of study. And if you haven't had a chance to participate in the study previously, you can always go to our Facebook page and pull up the studies we've done so far, the different sessions. I will say Facebook now has a As a rule, I guess not a rule, but the way they function is they'll keep videos and things like the study and our worship services up for a month, and then it goes away after that. So if you want to look at one of those studies, make sure you do so before the month comes to an end or the last 30 days comes to an end. I do want to remind you that many of you picked up your contribution statements for the 2025 year for tax purposes. I will say that those will be mailed out. If you haven't picked yours up yet, those will be mailed out this week, so you have those in your hands hopefully later this week. During the month of February, our February missions in gathering, we're collecting items for the Alamance Regional Cancer Center. We've done this before, and they're in need of specific items. You will notice on your bulletin today and also in the February newsletter the items that they're specifically in need of. So check those out, and you have an opportunity to stop by the stores over the next couple weeks. Pick some of those items up, and you can drop them off in the containers in the Communication Center or the Fellowship Hall at First Baptist. I will say, come Lent, the season of Lent is quickly approaching. We're a couple weeks away from the season of Lent, and there's two things that we're going to be doing during the season of Lent that I hope you will participate in that'll prepare us to encounter Christ during Holy Week. The first opportunity is going to take place on Sunday mornings. On Sunday mornings during Lent, I'll be preaching a sermon series called The Paradox of Lent, Embracing Joy and Grief. And each week we'll be looking at ways that we can draw closer to Christ as we approach Holy Week, as we approach Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Resurrection Sunday. So I hope you will join us for those Sunday morning worship experiences. That series will begin on Sunday, February 22nd, the last Sunday of this month, and will continue through leading up to Holy Week. The second way that you can participate and join us during this season of Lent will be a in-person Bible study. It'll also be on Facebook Live, but an in-person Bible study called The Last Supper. This is a book written and a study written by Will Willimon. Willimon is the director of the doctoral program at Duke Divinity School. I've had a chance to hear Dr. Willimon speak on many occasions, and he is a powerful speaker, a powerful preacher. And I hope you'll join us for this study. This study will take place on Sunday afternoons at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, depending on the schedule for that day. It'll also be streamed on Facebook Live. But the reason why I don't go ahead and share that with you is that the book, The Last Supper, it takes a couple weeks to get in to order. So I would encourage you to go ahead and place an order for that book, The Last Supper by Will Willimon. And have a chance to get in before the study begins. Again, we'll begin the study on February 22nd, but it takes a couple weeks for that book to get in. So I encourage you to go ahead and place an order for that book. It's well worth the read. And it'll focus specifically, the study focuses on the conversations and the stories or the parables that Jesus spoke specifically in his ministry leading up to the Last Supper when he gathered with individuals around the table sharing food. It's just a unique way approach to look at what was Jesus teaching. What was he? And Erlang just said you can also download the book as well and get it in faster. But it's just what are the ways that we can that Christ encountered those that he gathered with, and what were the stories that he was telling during those times. So I encourage you to go ahead and order the book. But that'll be two ways we'll join during the season of Lent, and I hope you'll join us both on Sunday mornings and Sunday afternoons for that time of study. There's so many other things going on in the life of our church. I hope you got the February newsletter. If you did not, it got mailed out or sent out late this past week. And if you want a copy of it, please contact the church office, and we'll more than happy to send you a copy of it virtually as well, by email as well. But again, we gather here to worship. We gather here to celebrate God. Just as we did last week, let's praise God together. I'm going to step off, and I'm going to turn some music on, and let us worship together. Let us sing Here I Am to worship.
See the beauty that made this heart.
one thing that you get the opportunity to do during these times of virtual worship services, when it comes to the music, you get to choose what you want to play. So I'm thankful for that. Here I Am to Worship is one of my favorite worship songs, and we'll be singing another one of my worship songs just a minute. That's one of my favorites. It goes back to leading the youth on the youth days. But if you would join me in reading God's Word this morning. Our opening scripture reading is Psalm 15. Listen to these words this morning. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent, who may live on your holy mountain, the one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor, and casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts, and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. When we stand with God and we act on His behalf and we minister out of His love, we will never be shaken because our foundation is rooted in Him. Let us go to the Lord in prayer, the one who is our foundation this morning. The hills hear your voice today, O Lord. The mountains quake before you. As we call on your name, help us walk in the ways of righteousness and speak in tones of peace. As we seek to be blameless and do what is right, may our hearts be free from guile and deceit, that we may be known as peacemakers, the blessed children of God. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our second worship song today, this morning, is You Are Holy. Again, this is one of my favorites. And I hope you'll enjoy this time of worship this morning.
Is worthy. I will love and adore.
I will go ahead and apologize if you heard me singing in the background. I'm sorry. I did not mean to be singing a solo, but I love those songs. I love those worship songs, and I pray that you've been lifted up by them this morning. As we turn to our ministry highlight for our morning worship service today, I do want to remind you that two Sundays from today, on February 15th, as we're in this, you know, we're in this season of love. Valentine's is everywhere. We look around. We collect a love offering every February for the missionaries that we support, for international missionaries. And our two international missionaries couples that we are supporting again this year are the Fushis in Japan and the Brokers who are in Oslo, Norway. And so we'll be collecting a love offering two Sundays from today. Once you're back at church, you will see these envelopes are all scattered around the church in your Sunday school classes and the communication center and the foyer. I encourage you, prayerfully encourage you to pick one of these love offering envelopes up, and you can place it in the offering plate on that Sunday, February 15th. Or you can drop it off by the church office. But we will divide the money that comes in for this love offering and send half of it to the Fushis and half of it to the Brokers. It's just one way we want to share the love during this season of love. And it's a way we can extend our gratitude and love and support of these missionaries that are overseas. So, again, prayerfully consider picking up one of those envelopes this next Sunday, hopefully when we're back in person, but picking up one of those envelopes and bringing that offering back on Sunday, February 15th for our Share the Love offering for our international missionaries. Now, if you would join me in our time of prayer this morning for our offertory prayer. And again, as I shared last week, I want to thank those who faithfully gave last week since we weren't in person. Last Sunday, you can give through our online giving platform, Givelify. You can go to our Facebook page and just click on there, or go to our website, www.fbc-elon.org, and click on the Givelify button, and then it'll take you to that way of giving. Or you can also mail your offering envelopes in. Susan just said she heard my singing, so I apologize. But you can send your envelopes in to our mailbox. Of course, our mailbox is PO Box 778, Elon, North Carolina 27244. Or you can just bring them next Sunday. And we again thank you for your faithful giving during this time, especially when we're away from the church. We're thankful for your stewardship. So if you would join me for our offertory prayer this morning, pray with me this day. Blessed One, your words in the Psalms and the prophets challenge and renew us. As we present these offerings this week to you, we rejoice that they will support ministries of peace, mercy, comfort, and truth. May your Spirit guide us as we live out the love we receive through your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The song I'm going to play for you today, you may be familiar with some of the tunes to it, but it's called Forever. It's a powerful tune. It's a praise tune talking about how God is always faithful and how we're called to be faithful to Him forever. So here is the song, Forever. again, another powerful worship song. Apologize, having a little bit of technical difficulties here. Okay. Another powerful worship song, a reminder of who God is, that He is forever faithful to us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer once again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer once again. And before we encounter God's word this morning, let's pray. When we feel beaten down by the world, merciful one, free us from sorrow and grief. When we are wounded by careless words, help us refrain from lashing out in our suffering and hurting the ones we love. Fill us with a hunger and a thirst for righteousness that we may walk humbly in your ways and be a blessing to everyone we meet. May we remember that you are stronger than our weaknesses and greater than our failings. Even when we fall short, your love embraces us and sets us on the path of life once more. Thank you, Lord, for being present with us this day and every day. Amen. Again, I want to thank those who joined us this morning for worship online. It's not the way we had planned for our worship time this morning. But again, we are thankful that we have this medium, this avenue of worship. And we're thankful that in this time of worship today, we can encounter God's word and encounter His love for us. This morning, the sermon that I'll be preaching this morning continues on our sermon series that we've been preaching, that I've been preaching over the last couple weeks on the prophets of the Old Testament. And as we've covered over the last couple weeks, the words of these prophets, while they were spoken many, many, many years ago, they still speak to us today. And I hope you're seeing that in our time of worship. I hope you're seeing that as we read the word, as you hear the words that I speak and that God blesses me with. I pray that you feel that as well. Over the last couple weeks, we've looked at the prophet Amos, who we called the prophet in overalls, in his message that he spoke of justice and righteousness. We a couple weeks ago, we looked at Elijah, what I kind of refer to as the rabbit trail prophet, the one that, if you look at Elijah's life, he veered off paths that he created for himself, but God gently or directly guided him back onto those paths, and God took him along some trails that he didn't expect to be going on, that led him to be the spokesperson of God that he called him to be. Last week in our virtual worship service, we looked at the prophet Hosea and the metaphor of love that God called him to be, and reminds us that love conquers all, and that holds true for us today as well. This morning, we turn to another prophet, probably one of the great prophets, one of the longest prophets we'll find in the Old Testament, and that is the prophet Isaiah. And the title of this sermon is Isaiah, A Service of One. It was a church service of one. Isaiah the prophet was the only person in attendance. Isaiah, a preacher in Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel, who lived about the same time that Homer was composing his famous writings, the Iliad and the Odyssey in Greece. Isaiah was in the temple that day, the dwelling place of God, the palace that King Solomon had built about 300 years earlier to offer animal sacrifices, to house the priests, and hold national prayer meetings. Isaiah had been your typical garden variety preacher, but he was about to receive a deeper calling, a call to prophesy, a charge to utter divine judgments, a mission to speak the very word of the Lord. If you would, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6 this morning. This morning we're going to read verses 1 through 8. I will go ahead and confess, this is a passage that I have preached on before, and it's one that actually holds special place in my heart as a pastor, because it is the passage that I wrote my very first sermon that I ever preached was on Isaiah chapter 6. Verses 1 through 8, so those words hold special truth and special meaning today. But listen to this experience. Listen to this worship service of one, reading Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sins atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." Here am I, send me. What a powerful, powerful word from the Lord today. The preacher of Judah saw a vision. Isaiah saw a vision, a picture of God that curled his beard and knocked his sandals off. It was a bone-shaking, heart-melting, soul-searching encounter with the Holy One of Israel. The ceiling of the temple faded away to reveal God installed upon his heavenly throne, the hem of his royal robe dropping down to fill the sanctuary with burning glory. Perhaps you've had an encounter with God like this before, a time when you saw God with your eyes, with the eyes of your heart. Maybe it was on a retreat. Maybe it was on a revival. Maybe it was on a mission trip. Perhaps you met God under a tree, on a mountaintop, or along the ocean shore. Or maybe it was gathered with this faithful community, gathered in worship as the First Baptist Church of Elon. Maybe it was a hymn that was sung, a prayer that was lifted, a sermon that was preached, an encouraging word offered by another. And you met the living God. Wherever it was, whatever the circumstances, you have never forgotten that sacred moment. God spoke to you, a personal word. It was a church service of one. And God was the preacher. Isaiah's encounter did not start out as a warm and fuzzy experience. Suddenly, in the presence of God, in presence of the one who has no sin, he became keenly aware of the sin that he had and the sins of his people. His spiritual clothes looked like grimy rags compared to the blinding holiness of God's hem of his robe. He was a pauper in the company of a king. Isaiah cried out in fear and woe, a similar cry that was echoed by Simon Peter some years later, the fisherman, when he realized he stood next to the sinless Son of God. "Depart from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." As a Jew, Isaiah knew he could not look at God directly. Anyone who did that would be killed immediately. Flesh could not stand before the Spirit. That is why Moses was only allowed to look at God's back when he asked to see the divine glory. Isaiah was certain he was dead meat, but in the church service of one, in this church service of one, God was meeting him to impart a new life. A messenger of heaven, a six-winged angel, touched Isaiah's lips with a live coal. Unclean lips which lie, which gossip, which curse, a symbol of sin. The coal stood for divine purification. Isaiah was now clean, purged, forgiven. Only the Holy One could do that. Only God had the judicial authority to declare a sinner not guilty. He not only forgave Isaiah's sin, he took it completely away. Isaiah was now ready to take his commission, to receive his commission, positioned to accept his duty from the deity. God was making him holy for a purpose, to be his prophet, a spokesman of his word. To be holy is not to be holier than thou. It is not practicing weird austerity like wearing coyote skirts and eating acorns in the wilderness. It does not mean to be a super saint either. It literally means to be set apart, to be dedicated, to be consecrated, to be committed, to be devoted. Now, many of you know that I am a huge baseball fan. It's not something I can keep a secret. And since my very young days growing up in my parents' home, we traveled back and forth to Atlanta to watch Atlanta Braves baseball games. And I have carried that tradition on to my family now as well. But as a young baseball fan, I don't know, many of you know, I collected baseball cards with my older brother, Scott. Every once in a while, when you open a pack of baseball cards, there's a really cool card, a special card that's found in that pack. Now, for most of the baseball cards that we collected, we would just simply throw in a shoebox. But those special cards, those special, unique cards that meant something special to us, we would always set aside. I would set aside in a specific place in my bedroom as I grew up. They were treasured gifts. They were set apart, placed there for a purpose. When we say yes to God, He collects us in a special place for a distinctive purpose. We are reserved for holy work, set aside for sacred use, commissioned to spread the aroma of God's love in a world reeking of sin, of death, and despair. Think about the things in the Bible that are set aside as holy, set apart specifically for God. There's prayer, a time set apart to converse with our Savior. There's the Sabbath, a one day in the week set apart to rest and to worship. There's marriage. Couples are set apart for each other in a special covenant ceremony. Even our tithe, income set apart for God's work. Now, Isaiah did not set a something aside for God. He set a someone apart for God. He set himself apart. Here I am, he said. I is a very inclusive word if you think about it. I means not just part of us. It means our entire body, our entire soul, our mind. It includes our thoughts, our attitudes, our choices. It incorporates our time and the things that come that are part of that. It takes our skills, our talents, our abilities. Here I am. Have all of me, Lord, is what Isaiah was echoing. I set apart me for you. Not just the religious me, not only the Sunday Sabbath me, not really the me that others see, but the secret me, the inner me, the only me that you and I know deep inside about, with all the fears and the joys and the dreams and the failures, the real me. That's what Isaiah was setting aside. Before God can use you, before God can use me and really use us for his ministry, you must give it all to him. There's no holding back. Isaiah admitted his sin in the presence of God. He showed his fear. He humbled himself before the Holy One of Israel, and he was never the same again. He was never the same again. He set it all apart for him. Are we doing the same today? And when Isaiah did this, and when he set himself apart, God lifted him up and set him apart for ministry that still reverberates through the halls of time 2,700 years after his death. Isaiah advised kings. He urged trust in God over shaky human alliances. His prophecies about a virgin birth and a suffering servant bearing the sins of the world pointed to Christ, who was born 700 years later. Isaiah made a difference because he became holy by setting himself apart for the Lord. What about you? What about you on this February 1st, Sunday morning? Are you ready to give yourself to God today? All of you, not just part of you, but all of you. And you may say, but wait a minute, I'm uneducated. Do you think Simon Peter, the rock-headed fisherman, had a PhD? Well, I'm just a student, or I'm just a secretary. I'm just a teacher. I'm just a mechanic. The Apostle Paul was just a tent maker. Dwight Moody, the great Chicago revivalist evangelist, was a shoe salesman. The preacher before you today, me, I was once a busboy in a restaurant. God can use anyone. I am too young, may be your response. Jeremiah, Mary, and Timothy were all youth when God pressed them into his service. I am too old. Moses was 80 when God called him from the burning bush. Yes, God can use anyone if he or she will decide to be used. All of you, will you today? You know, today, just as Isaiah experienced, today is a church service of one. It's not because we're gathered virtually. Today, God is speaking to you. It all starts with a personal call, a tailored vision of God, an exclusive word from the Lord to you. Listen, you will hear a message go deeper, fly higher, run longer in your discipleship. And the question I ask for you today is this, is what is your response? Will Isaiah be alone? Or will the congregation or of one grow when you raise your hand just as he did and respond, "Here I am, Lord, send me"? Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful for the passionate and prophetic call of Isaiah. And those same words are being spoken to each one of us today. Each one of us that are gathered to worship together as the First Baptist Church of Elon, but you are speaking to us. We are your congregation. We individually are your audience. You're calling us, Father. You're calling us. May we hear your call. May we set ourselves apart, aside for your ministry, for your work. May we respond just as Isaiah did. Here am I. Send me. Here am I. I'm ready, Lord. Here I am. Please, Lord, use me for your glory. Amen. Just some things to think about on this Sabbath Sunday morning. And we're going to close this morning with a song. It is actually a song that I came across a little while ago, but it was written two or three years ago by songwriter Richie Clark. I think it was about 2022 or 2023. And it's based on this song, on this verse, this passage of Scripture, Isaiah chapter 6. And I want you to listen to the words. Listen to the words in music. We just read it. We experienced that call. Now listen to these words, and I'm going to let it be the song. And when it ends, I'm just going to close out our worship time together. But I encourage you to stay on and listen to the song, "You Are Holy." Here I am, send me. Stand with order, stop the invasion, and send Joe Biden's illegal aid.